This is Fight Network Radio Insider Report. If you want to talk to the experts, call us now at 1-888-942-7326. That's 1-888-9-HARDCORE. Anywhere in North America, toll free.
And it is nice to welcome back to the Insider Report here on Fight Network Radio, Hardcore Sports Radio, Sirius 186 from JerryPark.com and from MMArated.com, Mr. Ariel Helwani. Ariel, how are you?
Mauro, my man, what's going on? How you doing?
Doing very well, thank you very much. Now, little birdie told me that you were seen at WWE headquarters in Stamford, Connecticut on Monday. Is that correct?
It wasn't on Monday. Oh. It was a couple of days ago. I'll just leave it open.
Well, what's going on there? What's happening? Are you in line to replace Mike Adamly? Are you telling me? Are you not telling me something I should know?
You know what, Mauro? This is like the worst thing that I can ever give a fellow reporter, but I'd have to say no comment on it right now.
Wow.
I will say that I did see Joey Styles in the the lobby, and I was very tempted to go up to him and ask him about the whole Adamly situation, but I felt that it was appropriate given the reason why I was there. I needed to keep my mouth shut.
No comment from Ariel Helwani. Well, thanks a lot, Ariel. We appreciate it.
He better break it on this show.
Turn the table on you here.
Yes.
May 31st. I mean, we still haven't found out about the announcer. Who's going to be announcing that special card on CBS? I'm trying to do everything I can to get you on CBS. Is there still hope out there?
No comment for you,
he
too.
He turned that one around so well.
No comment
you both.
For you as well, bitch. How do you like them apples?
I like you very much.
All right, let's talk about WWE and Raw on Monday night. After the debacle that was the Raw episode in Canada last week, Toronto's Air Canada Center, a much better show, but still, I don't know, for a go-home show to a pay-per-view, did you think they did a good job of promoting Judgment Day on Sunday?
Not really, unfortunately. Nothing really happened on the show that really made me want to care about the cage match or even the JBL Cena match. I think that this time really reminds me of 2003. They were going into Judgment Day with Triple H against Kevin Nash in a cage match. They brought Mick Foley in as a last ditch effort to be a special guest referee because things were failing. At least they had the Zach Gowen sort of freak show aspect that kept people involved. But right now, it seems to be very much lacking. Definitely a better effort than last week's show in Toronto, but the Regal stuff, I'm just not feeling right now. And
oh, you're not, eh? I actually think William Regal is being booked very well, considering what the lack of a real monster heel and what they're doing now with Umaga, who after doing the job to Jeff Hardy appears set to make the move to SmackDown, like we've been hearing. But what don't you like about William Regal's evolution as the omnipotent boss man?
Well, this was October 1997, and the Survivor Series in Montreal was just coming around, then I would love the idea of a heel GM or a heel promoter wreaking havoc all over the promotion. But sadly, it's 11 years later, and we've seen 800 different variations of this gimmick, and I'm just not interested in seeing a promoter or a GM or whatever you want to call him kind of ruin my, I mean, like, really, he comes out and he's doing these things. I thought it was clever that they ended the show. I liked it that they sort of, pulled the plug on it and left us hanging. That didn't bother me, but it's just too much when you have the guy and it's making him out to be the focus of the broadcast. I never really liked it after, the Vince McMahon Austin stuff, every different sort of variation of it, and I don't really like it now. I think Regal is great in the sort of quasi-comedy, quasi-serious role. Now he's just a little too evil for my liking. And can I just quickly say, I know there's a lot to talk about, but the Cena stuff at the top, I know Cena, he's a great delivery. He's got great delivery. He's a great talker on the mic, but this seemed way too forced.
Oh, I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. I thought Cena's appearance last night was very lame, and I know that's not his words, but usually he can save the lame material they gave him, but last night was very forced, very contrived, and he just didn't do much for me at all last night, John Cena. But in going back to William Regal, and I can understand your problems with the way he's being promoted, but I think what this sets up, and knowing his political political affiliations, and one of his good friends happens to be Triple H, that, you know, they could be building him up for a possible showdown with Triple H at SummerSlam, which I think, considering what else they have in the mix, could actually draw, just because Regal appears to get that legitimate heel heat that you need. Although you're right, after shutting off the lights during matches a couple of weeks in a row, I was getting, you know, that was getting long in the tooth quickly. But last night, just because of his facials, his work rate, of course, and the fact he's so easy to hate in this role, I think Triple H and William Regal could draw a pretty good buy rate for SummerSlam if that's what they choose to do.
Morrow, if William Regal and Triple H headline SummerSlam, I will walk to Toronto. I'll walk into your studio and kiss you on the behind, because that is not, there's no way in hell that that is happening. I've been watching World Wrestling Entertainment for long enough to know that Triple H is not headlining a pay-per-view with William Regal. We thought that was going to happen a couple of months ago, and we all saw that how their, you know, quote-unquote feud panned out. There's just no way it's happening. I'm a huge William Regal fan. I give him props for reinventing himself countless times and, you know, battling his demons, and he's great in the role that they have, but I just do not see him headlining any pay-per-views.
Ariel, I will have the lipstick waiting for you, my friend, when you make that. And I want you to walk barefoot, by the way. No Absolutely. Shoes allowed, okay, walking from where you are. Let's talk about the return of Jeff Hardy. Obviously, it seems to me a lot more either casual fans are beginning to buy tickets back to WWE events. I know the house shows have been doing very well in attendance. Or people in the year 2008 are just desensitized to all this wellness policy stuff, the steroids, the illegal drugs. The guy got a monster pop returning to television after his second strike with the wellness policy. I mean, it's a good thing for Jeff Hardy, and I mean, they need legitimate baby faces, but what does it say about our society when, you know, the guy has already failed the test twice, and all he has to do is say, you know, I made a mistake, I'm sorry, and woo, Jeff Hardy, Hardy!
I felt like I was in a really weird position there. I was sort of questioning, you know, my stance on society, because on the one hand, I'm a big believer that, you know, steroids, anyone who abuses steroids, anyone who uses them and gets caught on numerous occasions doesn't deserve to be on my television, and I don't really care to watch him. I don't care how great of a performer you are. But then on the other hand, I mean, the guy with the fire and losing his dog and everything, I was just like, I mean, I guess I should feel happy for him that he, you know, is back to work and probably doesn't have to face all the craziness that must go on when you lose everything in a house fire. So I felt a little strange, but putting that aside, you're absolutely right, and I don't think it's going to change ever. I mean, it's interesting to sort of compare the way he was received to the way Sean Sherk is going to be received in a couple of weeks at UFC 84. I have a feeling
good comparison.
That Sean Sherk is not going to be receiving the same type of ovation that Jeff Hardy does, and that's just wrestling, and that's just the way we've been accustomed to welcoming these guys back and sort of saying, oh, steroids, it's part of the game, let's put it aside.
And we saw when BJ Penn beat Joe Stevenson in England for the UFC lightweight title, when Sean Sherk entered the cage, I mean, he was booed out of the building, and you're right, it's the way we've been conditioned in professional wrestling that, I guess, you know, the reality curtain has to drop once you get back to the showtime. But I'm wondering if WWE, all things considered, are going to give him that ball to run with again, because other than a Shawn Michaels and John Cena, I mean, he got a legitimate main event pop when he entered last night, and it didn't subside.
I think he will get the ball. For a second, I thought that they were actually going to bury him big time when Regal came out, and I thought that they were going to like make him lose in less than a minute. But once they used him to try to position and or move out Umaga back to SmackDown or to SmackDown for the first time, it made me think that okay, they realized that it's sort of slim pickings up at the top there, and it's pretty much going to be like, okay, the last couple of months didn't happen, and that's really what he's grown accustomed to. I mean, he has a DVD out, he's getting pushed with that, he loses his job in WWE, TNA signs him, he screws up there a couple of times, they bring him back, they eventually kick him out, and then, oh, wait, he's back in WWE at the top end, and enjoying a lot better success than his brother Matt Hardy. If I was Matt Hardy, man, I would be pissed off internally about all the love that Jeff Hardy gets, And this guy's been a model employee and has been screwed a couple of times.
Yeah, he got fired for having a girlfriend cheat on him, for crying out loud. I mean, that's ridiculous. But you're right. I mean, one would have to consider under the current climate that this would be Jeff Hardy's last chance, but never say never in professional wrestling. You mentioned Umaga doing the job clean, as we heard, and you mentioned that I think he's going to be moving to SmackDown to become the number one heel against Undertaker. What about the Trevor Murdoch-Lance Cade situation? It's funny because John Pollock and I do our Raw recap for the Fight Network TV station, and everyone, you know, mentioning it came out of left field that he turned on him. They were building up the turn by Cade, but when you butcher the lyrics to a classic like Kenny Rogers the Gambler, I don't know if you caught it, but he said, you better count your money when you're sitting at the table. No, no, it's you never count your money when you're sitting at the table. I would have landed a nice right hand in the schnoz for doing something like that in my Kenny Rogers song. What do you think about that?
Tomorrow, that's why we love you, because you're so well-rounded. It's not just, you know, your critique on the world of wrestling.
You picked a fine time to leave me, Lucille.
Here's a trivia question for you. When was the last time that song was performed on WWE Raw?
Which one? The Gambler?
Yeah.
Oh, man. See, now you got me stuck. I would say, I see you're going to know this one. Tell me.
It was right before WrestleMania 17 when the Rock and Austin were doing their thing. And
yes.
Austin was in the ring singing and acting.
Yes, very poorly, I might add. Good job, yeah. Ariel. Now, Ariel, last question before we let you go. Obviously, you're not going to tell us why you were at WWE headquarters, but what can we expect from JerryPark.com, where you always got some great interviews, and your new affiliate there with MMArated.com? What's on tap?
Well, we've got a lot of great things planned. I got a couple of interviews up with Tito Ortiz. We're talking to Sean Sherk as well, all leading up to UFC 84. I'm going to be at UFC 84 in Vegas. If any of the hardcore sports radio fans are going to be out there, we're going to be shooting a bunch of stuff with everyone's favorite Octagon girl, Ariane Celeste, and a couple of other special guests to be determined. Got some great interviews, and as always, I always appreciate you guys giving me the time. I'm a huge fan of the show, and it's part of my daily routine to listen to you and John do your thing. All I want is two things, a two-hour show daily and more on my CBS May 31st. That's all I ask.
You never know about one of those two. We are in negotiations for a two-hour. No, I'm just kidding. We'll see what happens there, Ariel. Thanks again, my friend Ariel Helwani, insider from JerryPark.com, MMArated.com. Enjoy the rest of your week.
You too. Keep up the great work.
All right. Thanks a lot, Ariel. Of course, getting ready for Judgment Day Sunday. Yes, didn't even get a chance to talk about Triple H being booked as a heel, even though as a face. And the Pollock, the Prodigy Man, tell us about that on the Raw Recap. You can catch that, by the way, on thefightnetwork.com. We'll post our two-minute Raw Recap as we do every Tuesday. All right, after the break, we are going to be joined by former professional wrestler. He was in WCW. He was in WWE. A very interesting personality, Chris Kanyon. Who better than Kanyon? He's going to be live on Fight Network Radio, Hardcore Sports Radio, Sirius 186. Come right back. I drop a bag off, then let a mag off. The heckling clocks will tear half of your ass off. I'm not for the games, I'm not for all the playing. The hollow tips ring when I unleash your pain. Get the message from the lines and get the message from the nine. Paint a picture with words, you can see when I shine. Put my back on the wall, nigga, watch me go for mine. I let 21 shots off at the same time. Yeah.